Okay, so we need to download decisions, chapter 4. We need to download project intro of zip and other decisions zip. The other two we may or may not get to this class. Okay, so if I go into Visual Basic, I need to do a file, open project, and then I need to go and find them. And I think they're on my E drive. Okay, project intro if. So I am opening the SLN. And if it comes up like this, you just click on the form and you get the form to show. So I've got basically here a lot of if statements. And going over how to use if statements and that sort of thing. Okay. So if you look, I am looking for CI. I've got 3 input boxes. And this was a general thing, so I didn't give them names. I just have 3 input boxes there. And I have a result box where I can put the answer. So I started out and I said, okay, I'm going to put CI up there. And the first one, that's all I'm checking for, so I don't have to put anything else. Okay? Again, if you go in and click on any one of these buttons, it will come up with the cursor and the code that goes to that button. Okay? So it will bring up the code that goes with the button. So, I'm going to check CI. And the answer is coming out that it is CI, so they're a CI major. And what I'm seeing there is I've changed the text result. I want to change the background color to antique white. So I've said text results, back color is going to be antique white. So I can set in the properties the color that I want for any of these. But this gives me the ability to change the color as people are processing. Okay. So if the code equals CI, then change the background color and change the foreground color, and that worked. Okay. If I change this, to BU and click check, it now comes out with beige and brown and the message not a CI major. So that comes up, I change the background color to beige, the foreground color to brown, and I write not a CI major. Okay. So text result, if I go back to design view, stop running, and look at the properties for text result, and what did I swear this mouse has developed a mind of its own. Okay, there's the foreground color, and there are the background color that I can set. And right now, I've got things that default apparently is to line up by category. I prefer lining up alphabetically because I can never remember what category they're going to put something in. So I'm much happier with alphabetic. So you can change from this icon to that icon to get yourself alphabetic. Okay, so background color is here, and that's where I provide the initial background color. And if I don't do anything to it, it's going to stay that background color. And the same with the foreground color. And I can set those things for the all of the text boxes if I want to. So I can go through and set colors for all of them. So, as I said, this thing has gotten away from me. Okay, mouse. This mouse and I are not friends today. Okay, so now I've got the if. And the if statement has the condition, and it's not in parentheses, it's nothing special. But then it has the then word. So you have to say if the dial then. Now the nice thing is now they will fill in the then field. A while back they didn't. And you can imagine how many times I forgot the then. Okay? So now it will fill in the then. So it's if then and else and end if. So this is not of the same family that C and JavaScript and PHP are, where they are working with the curly braces. This has the if, the else, and the end if, so it really looks like pseudocode, okay? And if it's true, then you're saying then, okay?
Very quick question.
Yep.
For the color change, could you also use like hexadecimal colors or?
No? Yeah, I think you can. I honestly haven't tried it, but I think you can. Try it. That's why you have a computer in front of you.
That's the way for this to load up.
Okay. And notice when I did my clear, I set the background color back. So in the clear, I was not only clearing content, but I was setting the colors back to the original colors, okay? So that I really cleared out the boxes and didn't leave them a specific color. Okay. Okay, red, if we want to try red is, let's see, number sign FF0000. It doesn't like the number sign there. Okay, if we put that in quotes, would it be happy? Definitely not.
Delete the color. You just put the number.
You'd like that? Identifier expected. So when I represents red, green, blue, yes, I know that. No, it definitely doesn't like that. Okay, let's take the number sign out and see if it just accepts it that way. No. So I think the answer is no. But you can go ahead and try it. I have to admit that I have never actually tried that. But if you come up with a way of doing it, let us know, everybody. So if you play with it, let us know. As I said, Visual Basic documentation I would go to, except that we'll never have to have. The documentation is very difficult to find anything on it. So red, green, blue. The other way you can do it is write RGB and put it in parentheses. But I don't. No, it doesn't like that either. So I think the answer is There are now 140 colors, I think it is, that have names. Okay, somebody had a lot of time on their hands. And there are 140 colors with names. So I suspect you better stick to the 140. Okay, so the next one down is and. Okay, so I'm going to be checking for CI and the next field. And notice I call them text first, text second, because it didn't matter what I put in there. So if I call it four, so I've got an input of CI and four. Okay, and I click an and, it tells me that that person is honest. Okay, so again, this is how we would expect it. You are asking a if statement. Closing up the end if, and then you're immediately closing the other end if. Okay, so these are end if. Yes.
I figured out how you can use hexadecimals. What you have to do is you have to like assign it to a variable. Hexadecimal.
Okay, that's a, yeah, then, all right. And then say color dot the name of the variable?
It says var color equals, and then you have to like map a color from hex and then type in a hexadecimal. At least
okay. That's
what I got from this like Microsoft piece I got.
Okay. Let's finish this and then we can go back and try it in a minute. Okay, so this one is saying, is it CI? If it is, drop down to the next line. Is it greater than 3.5? If it is, it's honest. And then I have to at the end if end if. Now, Visual Basic very nicely indents these. So you don't have to worry about the indenting, it will do it for you. Okay, which is a lovely thing. All right. So, then in, I noted out, notice the single quote is a note, I noted out, if text first equals CI and. So this is using the word and when it relates to things. You know, there's lots of languages that want ampersands signs or plus signs or whatever. And signs. This is using the word and. So I'm saying if this and this, then do honors. So that's how you can do it with a compound. Now the problem with this is that if I run it and I put in CI and 2 and I say check and, nothing happens because it doesn't meet the criteria and there's no else's. So nothing happens. So I don't know whether it didn't work or whether it didn't meet the criteria. So it's a lousy idea on the whole to work with the no else's in there, okay? So the next one down has the else's for it. So if I click check and with an else, it tells me not honest. Okay, so that one is giving me a message that came back. Okay, so it's saying not honest. Okay, so what I've got there is this one has got not honest in here. And not honest in here. So that one has got my not honest on both, an else on both of the ifs. And again, this is very much like pseudocode. The way you're doing it is this end if goes with that and the else. This one goes up here to the top one and the else connects. And it indents it, which makes it a lot easier to read than as if they left it open. And so then they're saying, if text equals CI and greater than 3. I should have said a 5. Then you've got honest, else you've got not honest. Now, what about if these messages had been different? Could I do a compound? If I had different messages on the not honest, could I do a compound? No. Okay. So right now, this is 5. But if I change it, and on this one over here, let's say I put not CI major. Okay, which one am I changing over here?
The lower one.
So not CI major. And at that point, I can't do the compound because the compound, you know, has to know that. So right now I can't do the compound. Okay, going back to the problem that you had asked about. So what did you said I had to define a variable.
So it's just like VA for
wait a minute, I'm gotta get back where I'm supposed to be. Okay, so I can set up a dim my color equal to what?
Microsoft, well, it looks like you map the color rather to like a decimal. Like, it says microsoft.maps.color.fromhex.
Microsoft, wait a minute. I don't type as fast as you
I'm
talk.
Sorry. Microsoft.maps.color.fromhex. And then in parentheses and quotes, the hexadecimal. Or in single quotes, rather. And then it ends that line with a semicolon.
Semicolon?
Yeah, it's a semicolon.
Does MAPS have a capital M on it or something? It's not real fond of Microsoft. MAPS is not a member
MAPS
of Microsoft.
They all have capital except from MAPS.
MAPS is not a member of Microsoft.
This might be old. I said it's relatively recent.
It's not happy with it, so we will assume.
Right.
that's worth playing around with at some point. If you send me an email, I might actually remember to. But I'm not going to keep it up there. He got 140 colors with names on them. Here's a name. Alright. Okay. And that was the one that we just did over, where it says not on his GPA, not CI student. So this is the one where I said, what if they had different things? And notice that I don't have the compound in there because you can't have it with the compound. Okay, what does this next one do? What's the logic on that one?
If they type in CI, it will display OK. Otherwise, if text is greater than 3.5, then it'll type OK, and then if it's not either of those, it'll type not either.
No, there's no not up there.
Get
down below.
On the first one?
Oh, I was looking at the second
one. Yeah, you look down at the second one that I've added that.
Yeah.
So I'm starting out and saying, if it's a CI major, then I'm happy. If it's not a CI major, I've got a second chance, and that is it greater than 3.5? And if it is, it's okay. And if it's not, I don't do anything. So if it is CI, it's okay. If it's greater than 3.5, it's okay. But that runs into the same problem we ran into the other time when you don't have an else, and that is you haven't a clue. Wait a minute, I didn't finish that. You don't have a clue why. So if I want to add a thing in there to handle it if it's not either, then I put it on the second if, and I put it in here where I say not either. Okay, so that is putting in not either. And it is involved with the second if, because as you can see, the second if no to that would be the not either on the else. Questions. Is the if statements coming back for those who have had 120? And some of you have had, this is your first real programming language class. Some of you have done a bunch of them. So. So again, I can go out and test this. And I have OR and OR with an else. So if I put up here CI and I put 2, okay, and I do the OR with the else, it's coming up with okay because it's CI and I only need one of these. If I put BU, then it's not honors, okay? It's not honors because it's neither CI or 2. So if it's CI, okay, else, so it takes the else. If it's greater than 3.4, it isn't, so it takes the else, and it just puts out not either.
right?
Say that again.
Can you do that again?
Yep.
Please.
I think you clicked the and instead
yeah,
of the word.
Right.
Oh, okay. BU.
Yes.
And two. And I should be clicking or else.
No.
Not either. All right, what did I have? Not honors or something?
I think, yeah, not honors.
Okay. And I will try to remember to make that go away when I put up the PowerPoint. But at least if somebody listens to the audio, they know I messed up. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, questions? Okay, the next one down. Okay. If you have different comments that you want to make.
You can go ahead and make that, but if you have different comments, then can you make it compound? No. Okay. So I can't say if text first equals CI and text second greater than 3.5 because there's nothing in common. So they have different results.
Okay. So if I run those and I say, okay, check all different results. And if I run it, that's on his GPA. Because it's not BU, but the GPA is fine, so it's honors. Okay? But if I run it with CI, and this is too low, then it comes back with CI major. So it's coming back with different messages. So you can't make that a compound, because I can't say if this or this, then what do I say? What do I tell it to put out? So I can't do that. Okay. Can I please move that? Apparently I can't. If first text equals CI, okay, what is this one doing for me? Let me get out of that so I can move something. That's an and. Two things have to be true. One thing has to be true, right? And neither of two other things. So again, if you remember back to 120, I've got this as a CI major. Then the next thing comes down and says, is it greater than 3.5? And if the answer is yes, then it meets. Else, so that's the no to the inner if. Else, then I want to find is a third is greater than 30. And if it is, then it meets. And if it's no, there's nothing I want to do.
So this is the classic. CI has to be true.
And either of the other two. Okay, so CI has to be true and either of the other two. Now, as long as I have the same message, I can turn this into a one compound. If the messages were different, I can't. Okay? So I'm setting the compound, if you can see through my writing, if it equals CI and then I have the parenthesis. Why do I have to have parenthesis there?
If you don't have the parentheses, it's going to be CI and text second dot text, or just text third.
That's right. That's right. Ands get resolved before ors. Okay, ands get resolved before ors. But I can beat that by putting in parentheses. So if I take out the parentheses, then these two get resolved, or just that one. Because ands get resolved before ors. And that's basic logic that applies to everything. Ands get resolved before ors. So if I take out the parenthesis, then it, those first two conditions are in an and relationship, and they get resolved. Or just the third one. Okay, or just the third one. And then the one down below that, I put in the else's for everything. I think I can make this go away. So I put in the else's, and now I've got, again, it can be turned into a compound, but I've got meets criteria and does not meet criteria. And again, if I make these different, then I can't have the compound. Okay, I can't have the compound if I make them different. So the key thing here is these are the same. If I want a compound. Questions. Is it indeed making sense? Some of you are bored, some of you are... Nobody looks totally confused, though, so that's good. Bored, it happens. When you get to it in C++, you'll have if statements.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. That's what we're doing later, or that's what we're doing next week. It's if statements there, so I guess.
Yeah, right. You're going to get saturated with it, and that's just true. The first semester of a language, we can't assume that you've had.
Yeah.
And so we have to spend a little time making sure everybody understands what an if is.
This will be my third class with if statements.
Well, that's good. Then you should never make a mistake on them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching. Okay, and then the one down below is without CI, and I put in the different criteria, and because it has different criteria, I can't make the compound. And this should not be there. If you click on whatever at some point, it ends up making those extra things. It's a good thing to get rid of.
because they end up being nothing but confusing. Now this one has the two upper, and I don't remember whether I did it in the one above or not, but I don't think I did. No. If I don't know whether they type CI in upper or lowercase, I can say here, text first dot text two upper, and that does the two upper function. You see the two parentheses, it's a function. So it's doing the two upper function. So whatever they type in there is going to be changed to uppercase. So if I run this one, I've got CI and a four, and it meets the criteria, okay? Because it did the conversion. If I keep that lowercase CI there and run this one, it gives me the does not meet criteria, okay? Because CI didn't get converted. Okay, so if I want, I come back over here, it converted it to uppercase, and so I got the fact that it meets the criteria. Okay. Questions?
What if I want to limit the user to input only the two letters? Is that something that I do on the actual?
You can, yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Where you can actually set up a whole lot of criteria where you check on length and limit them to two characters. Yeah, we'll get into that. That's one of the big problems, is because you've got user entry, it's so much easier to read a file, presuming that the file was created correctly. But nothing should ever be written on a file until it has been checked correctly, but that's a lovely rule that people break all the time. But when you're taking in user input, most of the users will do it just fine, but that one person that does it wrong, that's going to do you in. So I'm not putting all the checks in that you should put in for data. We'll get to that in a later chapter. But even then, I'm not asking you to do it for every program you write, because it's long and tedious. So I'll make you have one program where that you do that on, but I won't make you check it on everything, because it just adds a lot of time. Okay, the next one we're going to look at is other decisions. Okay, so speaking of what you just said, this is doing a test at least to make sure that something is numeric. So I'm saying here, if is numeric, text grade dot text, okay? If it's numeric, then continue on. Else, if it's not numeric, check and see if it's a K, otherwise it's invalid. So what I was doing here is printing out what grade people were in, and K I put in as kindergarten. So if I put in, click for grade, okay? So if I come back and look at the form, and I want to click for grade, and that comes up and shows me that this is the code for click for grade. Okay, so I know that that's what this is.
if it's numeric, then I check, and if it's greater than 12, I say college, grade, name, etc. Okay? Else if. So this is a different kind of if statement. This is an else if. And the way you use that is this kind of situation, where I want to check and see if it's this, or if it's this, or if it's this, or if it's this. So I've said, if it's numeric, continue on. And now ask, is it greater than 12, then it's college. Else if. And so that is allows me to just say else and another if. If it's greater than 8, then it's high school. Else if, it's middle school. Else, if I've tried all the things, then it's elementary school. Okay? And apparently you can go to college forever. Okay? So, if you get the it's not numeric, I came down and I said, okay, now convert to lower and compare it to a lowercase k. And if it is, it's kindergarten. Else, it's invalid. So notice that the else if only has one if that ends it. Okay, you don't have to. You could have written this without the else if. I could have written this in standard if statements. But if I use standard if statements, I would use an end if for every one of them. But the else if is a structure that lets me keep asking questions. And then this is the if all else fails answer. And there's only one end if. So this end if goes with that one. This end if goes with that one. And this one goes with that. So there's only one end if when you're using the else if. And the else if is written as one word. It's not the same as writing else and then writing another if. It is written as one word. So if I come down here and put in 6, click for grade, it's elementary school. If I click for 15, it's college. If I put in a capital K, it's coming back with kindergarten because it did the conversion to lower and then checked for the lowercase k. Okay. If I, wait a minute, I didn't take a picture of that. If I put in an A, it comes back with invalid entry. So I have to put in a number unless it's kindergarten, and I check that by saying if is numeric. All else, when I drop out, I can look for K. Okay. Okay, now the next one is down here is the same thing. This is a case. This is using case. And case works the same way that we just saw. So I'm saying in coming in here, I define word case greater than it, and I said, if is numeric. Okay? Then I put it into word case grade. And then I said, select the case. The case is that the thing that I selected up here is greater than 12, then I put out college. If the case is it's greater than 8, then put out high school. if the case is a 7, 8, comma 8, that means either of those, middle school. If it's the case that it's 1 through 6, then it's elementary school. And then if it's something else, I said, need to check.
Okay. And then I have the kindergarten down there. So the case is very similar to what we saw with the LCIF.
That if I put something in, it will find it. And notice you can have the range where it goes from 1 to 6, or you can have this or that, which says I can check for 7 or 8. Okay.
Questions? Okay, the next one I have is get name. So if I type in space, 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 John, and I say get name, this is what I get, because I'm experimenting with some variety of things. So I said Jim work name is string, work length is integer. And then I said, okay, if text name is empty, okay, if text name, if the string is empty, then put out nothing entered. Now these, let's try that.
You can see where it goes.
So if I put nothing in there, it comes out and says, nothing in text box, nothing entered. Okay?
So the nothing entered goes to this is text name untrimmed, and this one is text name trimmed. Okay, so if I put something in there, I got it two ways. One, I tested the string empty, and then I came down and tested it again, which is equal to popo. So that was, you never would do that, but I was just showing you a second way of doing it. So I came down and said, if it's quote, quote, then put out the message nothing in text box. Okay? So now let's go back and put John back in. And I put some original leading spaces in there and then said get name. Okay? One of them has a trim. And so the trim is trimming off the spaces that came before John, whereas the untrim is keeping them. Okay. So when I say that I want a trim, text name dot text dot trim, parenthesis, means do the trim function on it. So take what I typed in and do the trim function on it, and then put it in the trimmed box. And you see the spaces have gone away. Okay? Then take the original name and put it in the untrimmed box, and you can see that the leading spaces are still there. And then I said, okay, now tell me the length of the field, and the length is 4. So that's into how you can test what you said, make sure that I'm running two characters, is you check the length of the field, and if you get word length, and then you say if word length is greater than 2, put out a message. So I put out a message box just showing word length, but that could be based on I only wanted two characters. So if word length is greater than 2, put out a message box that says problem in length or something like that.
Message box. And then you could put in like a clear function.
Yep.
Clear them out, make them start over.
Yeah, it makes them start over again. And then focus puts it back at that spot. So after you put out a message, if you put the name of a field dot focus, it will send it back, the cursor back to that spot.
Okay.
And we'll look at some of that as we're going along. but if you want them to fix something, it's always nice to send the cursor back. Okay. And then the fourth one is, okay, I'm entering K-101. And I'm going to get just the number. So that gives me 101. Okay, so how did I do that? I started out and I said, okay, I did a work. So I said, take what I put in here, this was text location, and put it in the work area. And then do an index of hyphen. So index of hyphen means it finds the hyphen. Okay? So I said work location dot index of hyphen. So that's saying where is the hyphen. So it comes back and puts it as work hyphen. And then I said, okay, work location is a substring, work hyphen plus one. So it found the hyphen, added one to it, and gave me everything from that point on. Okay, so it found the hyphen, added one to it, gave me everything from there on. So that's how I can get a part of a field, and we'll get into substring a lot as we're going along.
So if that would have been K-201, it would have returned 101 still?
No, it would have returned. No, if I put...
But the plus one is just moving it over the hyphen.
No, it moves it over the hyphen, exactly.
Okay.
So if I put 34501, for example, and say get just number, it does it just fine.
Okay.
Because it found the hyphen, and then it says starting from here to the end.
Okay.
And so it gave me everything from that point to the end. And as I said, we'll get into how to take middle of the substring and how to use in string and all those kinds of things. So that just pulls out part of the number and puts it over there. Okay. That covers the four things in that. So we do have a couple of minutes, so let's open the third one, which you may have to download. I don't know if you did it. And the third one is Project Radio. And I don't know if we'll get all the way through that or not. It would be lovely if these things actually worked. Be a lovely world if they did. Okay, so I've set up this form. And I've got those control boxes that we look at around this. And I would store and muck. And those came from toolbox common control containers, and there you can get a grouping box. Okay, so these are group boxes. So I put a group box around them, and I put the three radio buttons in there. Okay, so I have three radio buttons in that first group. And then I made a second group, and I put in the second group four checkboxes. Okay? So radio buttons, as you all know, means I can only select one, and checkboxes means I can select multiple. So if I go again the toolbox, if I go and look at the toolbox, I can bring up radio buttons and I can bring up checkboxes. Okay? So, here is that radio button, and you can see over on the side, it says radio button. Let me go back because I'm not sure I did a picture of the boot box. Okay, so that says radio button. And that tells me that it's a radio button. This one says checkbox. So that tells me it's a checkbox. So I set up the overall store, the boot collection area. And then I put the radio buttons in one and the muffins, the checkboxes. So if I do this, I can say start. Okay, come on. There we go. And if I click President's Ave, blueberry, pumpkin, and quantity 2. Now I was lazy. If you pick two things, you get two of both of them. In my restaurant, my bakery, you cannot have two blueberry and one pumpkin, okay? You get two of everything you ordered. And that was pure laziness. So I'm saying two, and it's now doing the calculation and coming back and telling me I owe $3.30. Is your order correct? Okay, and I'm all set. If I say calculate, is your order correct, and I say cancel, then it comes back and says your order for 330 has been canceled. Okay, so it's telling me that it's canceled. Okay. So now let's go and look at the setup of this form. So I started out and I said, set up a work total and a message area. And then I said, okay, if checkblue.check equals true, then, and apparently I sell that for 80 cents. So I take and say, work total equals what's already in work total plus 0.8 times the quantity. So I had two of those, I think, and so that would be $1.60. Okay, so work total at this point would be $1.60. So if I said take work total, add whatever it is. Then I ended the if, because with the checkbox, all of them can be true. Okay, I could have checked them all. So I started out and I said, okay, if check pumpkin.check equals true, then work total equals times 85. So pumpkin is 85 cents, I do the multiply and put it, add it to what's already in work total. I didn't check chocolate, so it comes back and just takes the end if, because there's nothing to add to that. And I didn't check grain, so it does nothing there either. Okay, so I'm only checking those. Okay, then I came back and said, all right, now I want to check the radio button. And if raid main checked equals true, then I am going to take the work total times 1.05, which is apparently the tax or something. Else, if the other one is checked, I'm going to decrease it. Else, I'm going to leave it the same. Or maybe it's not tax, maybe it's just some kind of service fee. But anyway, I just want to check. So Main Street gets a higher rate, Ellsbury Street gets a lower rate, and the third option just doesn't get anything done to it. Okay. So I am checking the radio.checked, so So in each of those, I'm checking for, is it true or is it false? And then I came out and I said, okay, now that I know what the amount is, I came out and said, work total, change it to currency, and print out it out in the text total box. So I'm printing it out. Then I said, okay, message answer equals message box show. Is your order correct? Okay, so let's watch where all those things show up. So if I run this, and we've got Main Street, and I want blueberry and grain, and I want three of them. So I calculate, and it's 480. And then I bring up this message box. Okay. So the message box in this case is going to know, get back whether it was an okay or a cancel. Okay. In an ordinary message box, if I'm just showing, I don't assign it to anything. But here I want to know what button they clicked. Okay. So I'm saying message box show. And then I say, is your order correct, which comes in here. And then I put in the title for the box, which is order to confirm. And I want the message box mounted buttons to be okay, cancel. And I want the message box icon to be a question mark. So I can give it all of those in that information. And you can go look up message box icons and see all the icons you can have. And message box buttons and see all the combinations you can have there. Okay? And I think your book was smart. So you can say, this message box I want to put up as an okay and a cancel. And then I want to put up the question mark and I want to put up those two text messages. Okay. So that means it will return whether it was okay or canceled. And then I said, all right, if message box and if message answer equals cancel. And this is one thing I dislike about Visual Basic, is I'm supposed to remember all that to write to check for cancel. There's no way I'm going to remember that. So I need to keep some kind of reference open or available so that I can figure out how to write that. Because unless I'm writing this all the time with forms and then putting up message boxes, I'm not going to remember that. So if it was canceled, then I clear, and then, okay, so there it is. If it's okay, nothing happens. My next question only is was it canceled that they hit? It was okay, everything's okay. So if they hit cancel, then it goes down and it cleared out the total. You can see the total is cleared out. And then it said message box, show your order for. So I'm saying your order for. And then I concatenated that with word total changed to currency string. So I concatenated with that. And then I concatenated with has been canceled. And I put in the control line feed, or the control characters, then move it down to the next line. So I write the first two lines, concatenated with the control line feed, which moves down to the next line, and that's CRLF. And then concatenated with has been canceled. Okay. So I put out a message box. I let them choose whether it was okay or canceled. Once they had made that choice, okay, then I continued on. If it was canceled, I cleared out the box
and I put up a message box to tell them. And the OK message box all by itself is the default message box, so I didn't have to tell them about the message box buttons, etc. Okay, because that's the default. It's just an OK.
How many iPods are there? It's only like
God knows.
I just went to Google and found that.
How many did it show you?
10.
All right. Then there's 10. Yeah.
Just to make things complicated, I apologize. So let's say you wanted to separate quantity. You have quantity set up for all the muffins. Would you create a second, or sorry, a third group? Or would you group the quantity next to the
wine? That's up to you, really. That you could do it either way.
So I could include it in the group, even though it's not it's a quantity. Yeah. And then just use the visible, and then as you click on it, you can make that able to add something to it.
Yes, yes.
No, I was just lazy, basically, on this one, and said, everybody, you know, if you want one, you're going to get two of everything, or three of everything. Actually, if you're working by in a bakery, you must really hate that. I want two of these and three of those and four of these and one of that.
That is online order for me, all right?
You're right.
If it's in your computer, that's okay.
So that message box is kind of interesting. And if you go and look up message box show, and I think it goes into it, it shows you, you know, all the different parts of what you can put in the message box show. And then you have to make the idea of whether you want message boxes to come up or whether you want to just make them text boxes on the form or labels on the form. Because a lot of people, myself included, absolutely hate pop-up boxes where you have to then go and click on something. I would rather just see them display it for me in a bright color or something so I can see it. But I'm not real fond of the message box. So I click OK, and it's now gone. And then the last thing down here was I want to clear, and again, I've got one of my little renegades down there. And I can't do that while the code is running. Okay, so on these, I took all of my checkboxes and returned them to false, and then I said, clear the other things, but all of my checkboxes, both my radio buttons and my checkboxes, are being set back to false. Okay, they were true, they're being set back to false. Questions? Okay. It's about that time, so I think we will call it quits rather than start another one with 5 minutes to spare.
Just getting good.
Huh?
It was just getting good.
I have one quick question.
You always ask quick questions, and they're never quick.
No, this should be a quick one.
Promise?
Yeah. I meant to ask you this on a Tuesday, but... for sending in homework, what file do you want us to send in? Do you want us to send like...
You have to send the entire thing zipped.
Oh, the entire thing, got it.
Now, as we've talked about before in my classes with Visual Basic, Gmail, for example, will not send the zip file to the next So, at that point, there's a workaround, which is if you're sending it, change with ZIP to JPG or some other thing, and it somehow lets you go through it. It's not smart enough to figure it out yet. Well, I shouldn't say that. As of last semester, it wasn't smart enough to figure it out. I haven't actually done it this semester. The other thing you can do is you all have access to CIS Web. So you can take the zip thing, put it up on CIS Web, and send me the address. And that's a good storage place for you anyway. So if you just zip up the folder, you need to zip up the whole folder, put it in the CIS web, and send me the address so I can download it. I don't want you to just tell me it's on CIS web, because then I have to make a password. Yes, I have a list of them, but no, I don't want to take them in. Okay, so just send me the address. I can then download it and unzip it, and you're all set. So that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Some people, you know, I wish life was predictable. Some people have had no problems from BCC.
Well, I don't know.
Others have had it.